let's get you caught up on what else on this day in history. Hope you had a good weekend. We still call it a Make Us Laugh Monday, although we don't share jokes after 7:45. We used to do three apiece, and we have left it to you, the listeners, now. I'll see if I can come up with a joke or two. We do have a friendly listener who checks in with her Monday jokes. He leaves them on Sunday, so let's give this one a listen. Here we go.
Well, this is for your Monday morning giggle, and the Lord bless all of you. Why did the hot movie star sign autographs? Because it was for a fan.
All right, good enough. All right, thank you. There's some humor to get you started here this morning on WWIB. And this is the week of OneFest, going on in our OneFest after party, Friday and Saturday night. Boy, 12 giveaways on Friday night and nine more on Saturday. So we're going to be doling out prizes left and right. And I hope you join us for that here on WWIB. Dawson and I teaming up for that. All right, this day in history, what can we tell you about July 28th? 1945, a U.S. Army B-25 bomber accidentally crashed into the 79th floor of the Empire State Building, killing 14, injuring 26 in 1945. I guess what else I have here audio-wise is more of having to do with the birth anniversary of somebody who's... So I'm going to save that maybe for birthdays. In the meantime, 1866, Beatrix Potter was born in England. In 1894, in a letter to a critically ill child, Potter told a story of four little rabbits, Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. The story, since published in 17 languages, was inspired by her own pet rabbit, Benjamin H. Bouncer. You never know what those family pets will inspire. And finally, our morning devotion from Robert Morgan's On This Day, today, titled Never on Sunday. Jonathan Edwards fell in love with Sarah Pierpont when she was 13. He was moody and stiff. She was vivacious as a songbird. He could think of nothing else, and one day, studying Greek, he scribbled in the cover of his textbook that Sarah goes from place to place, singing sweetly, full of joy. She loves to be alone, walking in the fields and groves, and seems to have someone invisible always conversing with her. They married on this day, July 28th, 1727, the bride, then 17, in a green dress. Jonathan was hired by a Massachusetts church, but parishioners often criticized the young couple. Jonathan Edwards was too strict for some, Sarah too extravagant for others. Even worse, they evidently were intimate on the Lord's Day. Colonial New Englanders believed that babies were born on the same day of the week as conceived. When six of the Edwards' 11 kids arrived on Sundays, it sent tongues wagging. Such intimacy wasn't appropriate Sunday behavior. But through all the hardships, the couple nurtured their love. They cherished afternoon horseback rides along forest trails. They had nightly devotions, and Jonathan read Sarah his compositions daily. He devoted an hour each day to the children and took them on trips one at a time. The famous evangelist George Whitefield wrote, "A sweeter couple I have not seen. Their children were not dressed in silks and satins, but plain, examples of Christian simplicity. Mrs. Edwards is adorned with a meek, quiet spirit. She talks solidly of the things of God and seemed to be such a helpmeet for her husband that she caused me to renew those prayers I have put up to God for a wife," said George Whitefield. Jonathan Edwards' last words were, "Give my love to my dear wife and tell her that the uncommon union which has long subsisted between us has been of such a nature as I trust is spiritual and therefore will continue forever." Robert Morgan closes by saying, years later, a reporter tracked down 1,400 descendants of Jonathan and Sarah Edwards, finding among them 80 college presidents, professors and deans, 100 lawyers, 66 physicians, 80 political leaders, 3 senators, 3 governors, countless preachers and missionaries, and 1 traitor, Aaron Burr, which you know if you've watched the musical Hamilton. Finally, Proverbs 14, 1, 26 and 27. A woman's family is held together by her wisdom. If you respect the Lord, you and your children have a strong fortress and a life-giving fountain that keeps you safe from deadly traps. All right, we're underway here on the WIB Wake Up Show, coming up on 9 in front of 6 here on this Monday. And... yeah, so Forrest Frank in the back injury.
L3 and L4, here's a clip of it. If you want to watch the full video, it's right before this one. I saw this comment right here. How will you make fire music with a fractured back, bro? I don't know. Let's find out.
I think I'm going to just sing whatever pops out, and then I'm going to build the chords around it.
God got my back.
That's the lowest hanging fruit right there.
Even when I fall, I'll get attacked. Even when I'm low and full of black.
Let's see if I can hit this. I'm just gonna charge this and not tweak my back.
God's got my back.
I felt that one.
So a little bit of Forrest Frank in bed, God's Got My Back. A weekend recap here on WWIB. And again, one of the things that's marked the life for my wife and I the last 3.5 weeks is poodle puppies. And so there was a puppy party on Friday night. My daughter, Evelyn, and a couple of her friends were over, and I was just kind of loving on the puppies, enjoying it. Now, there's a lot of tougher work that goes with it in terms of making sure mom gets outside. Imagine. Yeah, all that other thing, but my wife has taken the lead on that, as she does on so many things. And so, anyhow, one of the four is spoken for, so three remain. I think the only boy is spoken for. All the girls who are generally black, although there may be some mixed colors. But anyhow, some puppy party going on Friday night, and then Saturday before lunch, we had our two oldest there and four of their friends. And then a great just conversation and just hanging out afterwards was a lot of fun. And then I understand Elena and Grace and their squad that were kind of camping at Lake Wazee wrapped it up a little short because of the heat there on Saturday. And there we go.
Well, you know, it's one fest weekend, so kind of prepping for that. I had a pretty quiet weekend and very thankful for that. Got some reading done, got some steps in, a lot of time at home, ran a few errands and things like that, but just really enjoyed, again, the time indoors, the time in the air conditioning, and trying to rest up kind of in advance, anticipating a lot of long hours outside this weekend with all the fun. Weather looks really fantastic.
It does.
Last I checked.
It does.
For OneFest. So that's great, too. So, didn't finish the book that I was reading, but getting closer, getting to the really good parts. Enjoyed that. Enjoyed the time with the kids as well, too. And, they were at Cousin Camp toward the end of last week. So I think I appreciate just, I really like having my kids around. So enjoyed enjoyed that over the weekend very much.
Well, have you ever been injured by your clothes? Yes, by your clothes. Apparently, being injured by your clothes is more common than you think.
And I wonder why my toddler doesn't want to get dressed. Well, a report from the Consumer Product Safety Commission found that 120,000 Americans suffer clothing-related injuries every year. 120,000 people.
Huh. If we were not sharing the story right now, it would be potentially material for a trivia question on another day. Like the woman who dislocated her shoulder while putting on a T-shirt.
Another woman was putting on some nightwear, fell, and broke her nose.
Ouch. Yeah, apparently it's common for people to hit themselves in the face while they're pulling off their socks, so be careful.
I guess. Don't get your face too close to your socks. A man driving a snowmobile got his fingers stuck in the coat pocket of a passing pedestrian. Okay, first question, why in the world was your snowmobile that close to a pedestrian anyway?
And finally, one woman caught her sweater on her earring and pulled it right through her earlobe.
Ow, ow, ow. Be careful out there, and apparently it starts with getting dressed. So if you're listening to us as you're getting ready for the day, just keep the Band-Aids handy and take a little extra time, I guess.
Well, it is summer travel season, people taking vacations. And so what are the worst tourist traps?
Yes. So I just visited for the first time Door County. And I can see how some places you could call it tourist trappy there, too. I'd never been before. Loved it. Not cheap. Not cheap to vacation over there, but just a wonderful time. And actually, you can save a little bit if you camp at Peninsula State Park. But these are some places across the great U.S. of A where it's, this could be definitely recognized as a tourist trap. I have not been to any of these.
Yeah, I've been to just one. All right, so these are seen as some of the worst tourist traps, like Wall Drug in South Dakota. I've heard about it.
I've seen the bumper stickers.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that's why it's a tourist trap, because everybody feels like they have to buy a bumper sticker when they go there. Las Vegas, absolutely.
Yeah, the Hollywood Walk of Fame deemed a tourist trap.
Again, these are deemed some of the worst tourist traps. New Year's Eve in Times Square. You better not have to use the restroom, I would just say, because you are packed with, a million plus people in Times Square? Crazy.
Just so crowded, right? I think I'll count down from home, thank you, and often in bed before it strikes midnight there. Another tourist trap. Any of those Homes of the Celebrity drives. So those are some other tourist traps.
Branson, Missouri is listed here. Now, I have family that just went to Branson, and they said it's called the Sight and Sound Theater, I think. And there's like a biblical play of David that they said is Broadway quality and just incredible. But also, I think there are a lot of, tourist trappy type of things in Branson as well.
You know, the late Mike Radford here from Eau Claire, he had a performance that he did in Branson for about 10 years. Yeah, we've been there. That's the one place we've been. But, boy, it's hard to believe, like 17 years ago or something. How about also the southernmost point in the U.S. monument in Key West is apparently deemed a tourist trap.
And one more, again, worst tourist traps, and this one is actually international. Uh-huh. The Mona Lisa at the Louvre, it says, much smaller than most people expect, protected behind thick glass, and usually swarmed by tourists.
So, it's like, can I get a look?
Whether you'll even get close enough to see it could be debatable.
Well, you know what, Caleb? I want to do an impromptu interview with you because... I remember talking with you off air a year ago, and the last year's OneFest, the idea, the seeds were there for what's going to be hatched here Friday and Saturday night, which is the OneFest after party.
Yeah, and this was kind of built out of my own impatience. So the Lord works on me about that. Patience is a virtue I'm striving toward, but not always achieving. Mm-hmm. And I just realized I was... kind of tired and maybe a little cranky, like after being out in the sun, the heat all day. And then it was, I'd like to go home and get, I mean, because I get maybe 4 hours of sleep and then need to be back there the next day. And it was, I want to get home. It's half an hour home and I want to get home. And I was just sitting there in the parking lot waiting and waiting and waiting while thousands of my friends were also trying to get out of the parking lot. And so I guess it just sort of started the brain motor running a little bit. Well, what if you weren't just kind of waiting, seething at the steering wheel, when can I leave? What if you were being entertained? What if there was something enjoyable to do while you wait to maybe help aid in the patience a little bit? And thus the idea of the OneFest on-air after party, a live show here on WWIB with all sorts of contests, fun and games and giveaways and recaps of the day, highly interactive with everybody who's waiting. So as these families are sitting in that parking lot waiting to leave or maybe driving however long they have to get home, or maybe they're in their campsites at OneFest, so they have something to do, something fun to kind of cap off the day, the capstone of the day.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's along the lines of necessity is the mother of invention, because along, you know, it's just like, hey, I know. And so there it is. And so you're making a lemonade out of lemons. We're looking forward to it on Friday night. Again, I don't think I've been here at WIB since 1985. I never was a part of as many giveaways as we're going to have in that 2-hour period.
So, there will be a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
Looking forward to that. And again, Halvo and Dawson will be hosting that. So tune in live here, WWIB.com or 103.7 FM, 10 p.m. to midnight this Friday and Saturday of OneFest.